This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here is your top stories this Thursday. Highway 6 near Rifle has reopened after a passenger train derailed in a crash with a tanker truck yesterday morning. Colorado State Patrol says the Canyon Spirit train hit the tanker at a railroad crossing near Mile Pond Road, derailing 6 passenger cars and 2 locomotives. The tanker spilled roughly 6,000 gallons of road oil, and the rail line suffered significant damage. The truck driver was hospitalized with minor injuries, while no passengers were hurt. Around 310 passengers and crew were evacuated and taken by bus to safe locations. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has not appealed the city of Glenwood Springs' recent decision to revoke a permit for the agency's short-term detention facility. But as Eleanor Bennett reports, the city could still face a legal battle if it tries to force the ICE facility to close.
The federal government and the property owner had a week to appeal the city's decision to revoke ICE's permit. The Glenwood Planning Commission made the decision last Tuesday. That's after it found ICE had violated the permit by detaining people for more than 12 hours in small cells. Glenwood City Council will consider how they want to enforce the decision later this month if ICE keeps the facility open. The dispute could end up in federal court. The city's attorney says last month ICE applied for a new permit to remodel its office space, but officials do not plan to approve the application because of the other permit violation. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
The Colorado State House officially passed a bill to fund and support wildlife crossings. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports on what that may mean locally.
The Wildlife Collision Prevention Act, which passed with bipartisan support, aims to reduce collisions between wildlife and vehicles throughout the state. It'll also encourage habitat preservation on either side of crossings, whether that be overpasses or underpasses. The act will create a collision prevention fund, which will grow through an optional $5 fee for Colorado residents at vehicle registration. In the Valley, Roaring Fork Safe Passages is working on funding 5 overpasses. Cecily D'Angelo is the nonprofit's executive director. She's optimistic about what the funding will mean for Highway 82.
While we are not at the top of that list, it doesn't mean that we couldn't be down the road. So I think that the projects that are well deserving of this funding are very far along in their engineering and design process. Essentially, they are what we call shovel ready. And there's projects like that across the state, and it's likely that these funds will start flowing to those initially.
Current wildlife crossings in Colorado include the largest in North America across Interstate 25 in Greenland, and Kremling's Crossing, which has reduced wildlife collisions by 92%. The legislation now heads to Governor Polis for his signature. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
Aspen City Council wants to know how much upgrades to the Aspen Golf Club might cost and how long it'll take before committing to next steps. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more on the future of the golf club campus.
The Aspen Golf Club is in the middle of drafting a facilities master plan, which will outline the future of the golf course, tennis courts, and surrounding campus. A survey of over 500 people showed broad consensus. They want the campus to be a community hub. Some responses suggested building an indoor tennis facility or golf simulator. Others wanted to see an expanded restaurant and community event center at the clubhouse. City Councilor John Doyle is interested in exploring most of the ideas, but wants to see more detailed cost estimates and construction impacts before moving forward with any specific project.
I think as our golf season and tennis season both get longer, I think this is going to be needed. My biggest concern is sequencing with every other project that we've got going on in front of us right now.
Councilors will get a look at conceptual designs and cost estimates later this summer. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
The golf club wants to finalize the master plan by October. In statewide news, with just over a week left in Colorado's 2026 legislative session, Governor Polis is signing a number of bills into law. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Pretty Woods reports.
One of the new laws tightens rules around 3D printed firearms. Starting in July, it'll be illegal in Colorado to make guns or gun parts using 3D printers or similar tools. The original version of the bill would have also banned the digital code used to program printers to make guns. Lawmakers removed that provision to appease the governor. Another new law raises the overtime threshold for agricultural workers. Currently, ag workers get overtime pay after working either 48 or 56 hours in a week. Starting next year, that threshold will be 56 hours for all farm workers. A third new law creates protections for kids and teens who make money as social media influencers.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A scaled-back AI bill is moving forward at the Colorado Capitol to deal with potential discrimination in AI systems used to make consequential decisions about people's lives. For the Colorado Capitol News Alliance, Benta Berglund has more.
The bill targets AI used to determine everything from bank loans to hiring. If someone gets an adverse decision, the consumer can request human review. The proposal does strip away a lot of the requirements that were set to go into effect this summer, such as disclosures and testing from AI developers. Democratic Senate Majority Leader Robert Rodriguez is the main sponsor.
I'm not happy with the end-all product of this bill, but it's a start, and we're still recognizing that.
The AI law has taken multiple years to iron out. Opponents say it doesn't do enough to proactively protect consumers. But deployers of AI systems and developers and some civil liberty rights groups say they're mostly on board with it.
That was Benta Berglund for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Ticks are emerging early across Colorado. CPR's Molly Cruz has the story.
As Coloradoans head back outdoors, a less visible part of spring is also making a comeback. Ticks are already here. And experts say this season could be more active than most. Ticks are carriers for diseases like Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Colorado tick fever, which causes fevers, a rash, or fatigue. Both illnesses are carried by two ticks commonly encountered in Colorado, the Rocky Mountain wood tick and the American dog tick. Now, state officials say they've launched a first-of-its-kind program, a statewide tick surveillance program. Experts say this program will allow the state to better understand what kind of ticks live in Colorado and learn more about the diseases they carry. I'm Molly Cruz, CPR News.
And in regional news, the federal workforce shrank by 10% last year, according to Pew Research Center. Now, a new analysis by some of those former workers reveals the decrease included about 6,000 public land staffers in our region. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
The total number of public lands workers who left due to layoffs, retirements, and other departures was compiled by consulting firms made up of former federal employees. Andrea Delgado was a deputy regional forester in Colorado until last October. She combed through public federal workforce data and found declines across agencies, including the Bureau of Land Management and U.S. Geological Survey.
You know, we're talking about engineers who keep trails, roads, and bridges safe to travel on and hike on, the hydrologists who monitor snowpack and watersheds, biologists who track fish and wildlife.
The drops in public lands workers range from an 11% decline in Wyoming to 26% in Colorado, compared to the number of employees in 2024. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
New photos show major damage to an archaeological site that is hundreds of years old in southern Arizona. As Nina Kravinsky reports for the Mountain West News Bureau in Hermosillo, the loss is linked to border wall construction.
The nearly 300-foot-long fish-shaped etching is approximately 1,000 years old and located in the Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife Refuge. The etching is just feet from the Arizona-Mexico border in an area slated for construction of a secondary border wall to run parallel to the existing wall. New photos from the Center for Biological Diversity's Russ McSpadden show a 50-foot swath of earth near the fish's head has been scraped away.
And it was clear right away the damage is permanent.
The site is located near the Tahana Otham Reservation and the tribe's traditional land, said tribal chairman Verlin Jose in a video on Facebook.
This was more than land. It was memory. It was identity. It was history. For us Otham, sacred sites are not just places. They are living connections to our ancestors.
A Customs and Border Protection spokesperson said a border wall contractor disturbed the site nearly 2 weeks ago, and the remaining portion will be protected. Nina Kravinsky, Hermosillo.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.